Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Here's the Chicago offense.
Matt Forte, Tulane University.
Touchdown Bears! A dramatic catch by Matt Forte.
Matt Forte.
Forte, 50-yard run for a touchdown.
You know, just watching Matt Forte on film, watch him here. He can make those jump cuts. I mean, he can plant that left foot and then jump way over to the right and then plant the right foot and go upfield again.
10-year NFL veteran.
Unbelievable teammate. Unbelievable friend.
I'm going to tell my kids about this guy. I'm going to tell my grandkids about this guy. He's a legend. He's somebody that should be in the same conversation with the greats. He's the best player I've ever played with.
Two-time Pro Bowl selection.
Forte picks up another first down and more. He is inside the 10 and will take it in for a Bears touchdown, 32 yards.
That's the whole package right there. We talked about the patience before. Now just the vision.
Matt Forte, 32 yards of excellence.
One of the 100 greatest Bears of all time.
And with that, on his 273rd touch, is now joined Walter Payton with 1,000 rushing yards and now 500 receiving yards. The only two Bears.
The NFL is what have you done for me lately? You know, everybody is always looking for the next best thing.
Underrated, but I still be scoring Matt Forte. Matt Forte with Spiegel and Holmes.
I think we're on record of how important Matt is.
On 670 The Score.
It is the case. Matt Forte joining us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Second all time in rushing in Bears history. And we get to talk football with him every single week here on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Matt, we are so excited that you're going to be a part of the team with us, man. It's great. And thank you so much for being a part of it.
You know what, guys? It's a pleasure and an honor to be a part of this team. I'm excited about this. I haven't been on a team in a long time. And it's good to be back, Holmes, with you and Spiegel. You know, it's good to be back with you guys.
We appreciate you, man.
That's awesome, Matt. Love that you said that. Yeah, the four of us on this show feel like a team, and to be able to welcome you in is really cool. And I love that you and Lawrence have this wonderful pre-existing relationship from your time doing television together at NBC Sports Chicago. And Lawrence always used to talk about how he enjoyed watching games with you and being able to talk ball with you. So we're thrilled, man. Like, what was your setup last night? Were you home to watch that game? And we've been waiting for this one a long, long time. Looking forward to the opener, Matt.
Yeah. I was set up at home, in the basement watching the game. And reason being, because I wanted to go to my daughter's volleyball game. So I went to that first and then was able to catch the game. I know it was alumni weekend and stuff like that, but you know what? Family first. I am a family man. So I ended up watching the game. It's a school night too. You know, look what I've turned into. Big, you know, all those accolades and those people saying nice things about me on the intro was funny because I'm such a family man now. I'm a changed guy. So, but I was holed up in the basement watching the game and just chilling in the basement.
So what did you take away from what you saw? And what were the things that stood out to you?
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Man, a lot has stood out, man. You know what? First, I'll talk about defense. What stood out to me is how important the three guys that were missing are to the defense. And Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, and then TJ Edwards, man. I mean, you can see that they were missing out there because especially they started off nice, which defense usually starts a little faster than offense, but you know, late in the game, in the fourth quarter, we gave up three touchdowns. That's not something that we should be doing at all. But also, it's just when it comes to Bears defense, especially at home, we can't give up, you know, touchdowns like that. But then when it came to offense, man, I'm a big fan of Ben Johnson. I'm a big fan of Caleb Williams. But again, it just seemed like Caleb's scrambling a lot and he's running for his life again. And when the pocket was clean in the first half, I mean, I think the stats were that he was 13 of 16. And then Brian Flores turned up the heat and started blitzing in the second half a lot more. And, you know, the completions went down. I think he was 8 for 19. And that is something that we have to deal with, because defenses and defensive coordinators will take and watch film and realize, okay, when we turn up the heat and blitz, you know, the stats and the execution goes down. But one thing that, other than those kind of things that we can control and that we can fix, something that has to get fixed immediately is pre-snap penalties. We had way too many pre-snap penalties, and that's the type of stuff that you see in preseason that you got to get worked out immediately, because we're already, you know, starting behind the ball.
Matt Forte with us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. In your experience, when you guys had him, when you were playing, who are the pre-snap penalties on? Is it a coaching issue? Is it a quarterback cadence issue? Is it everybody? Is each one its own specific occurrence? What are we dealing with here?
It's everybody. And that can't be cookie cutter where you know everybody on every team is just like that. But at the same time, I think 99% of the time it's everybody. It's on the player, because it's a mental error where mentally you have to be either lined up in the right spot, the cadence has to be the right, you know, call, or you don't jump off sides. You know you're going on two or three, or you're switching the play or switching the call. That's a mental thing on the player. And if it continues, then it's on the coach, because the coach has to really harp on that and teach that and remind guys that this is important. There's a reason, you know, great coaches like, you know, Bill Belichick or so, they didn't have a lot of pre-snap penalties, if at all any, because guys knew, they had the fear in them that I'm going to get cut if I jump off sides, or I'm going to, or if I, you know, have pre-snap penalties. Like, you're playing hard, you're playing in the game, and you know, you end up getting a holding call here and there, like stuff like that does happen. But pre-snap, that's just, you know, we're not focusing on what the task at hand, and you know, we got to be better disciplined. I think that's a discipline issue, but it is team wide. It's a team sport, the ultimate team sport, but it's on everybody, coaches, players, all of us.
Matt, when we're watching Caleb and we look at some of the plays, and granted, we didn't have the all 22 view while we're watching the game last night, but it felt like there were open windows for him to make throws down the field. In the first half, he checked it down. The second half, he was forced to check it down in some cases because of what Brian Flores was doing. When you guys go back over games, do you remember coaches telling Jay, for example, like, hey, man, like, the ball was supposed to go here, why didn't you throw it? And then getting Jay's perspective of what he saw on a play, because as I'm watching Caleb, I'm going, man, there seem to be missed opportunities down the field. How do you get a quarterback to take advantage of those?
Well, Jay didn't get questioned a lot, so that was one of our faults. our coaches probably should have, you know, done those things in the meeting just for accountability purposes. But yes, you're right. When I was looking last night and early in the game, it was like almost as if they told him, hey, you know, if it's not there in your first read, check it down. So he checked it down really quickly, and then in the second half was forced to. But then that led to kind of, when your pocket is clean, missing receivers. There were some times where specifically I think DJ was open on the left side of the field going into the end zone late in the game, and he came open and threw his hand up, and it was way too late that he tried to get to him and ended up overthrowing him. So those are the type of things when it comes to timing and being in the right place and not getting antsy back there where you trust your you know, the line, which is hard to do sometimes. But yeah, I think when you go back on film, they're going to have to readdress that, and they're going to do some stuff with Caleb to try to fix those things where, you know, you're not back there missing guys that may be open. I think he missed Roma Dunze on a post route by checking it down, because he probably was scared, you know, afraid of the pocket collapsing on him.
That's good stuff, Matt, because I got to tell you, the success early felt connected to the way it got worse late. You know what I mean? Like what you're saying, yeah, he was checking it down and being cautious and careful, but then it felt like it was too cautious and careful. What are some of the things they can do to help him be less antsy back there? That's your word, and I think it's a good one for how that looked, especially in the second half.
I think the remedy to issues like that come through the run game. And that's the one thing that is an integral part of this game that we're missing. There was no really explosive runs besides maybe one or two last night. And the average per carry was, I think, specifically like 3 yards a carry. So we didn't have a run game to keep them honest. So in the second half, they just pinned their ears back and started blitzing. And you can see the results of that. So when you play the game safe and you're checking it down, or you're calling some of the plays that aren't taking shots downfield, you put your offense at risk and your quarterback at risk of not being able to get back there and be comfortable. And an extensive running game, a running game that's dynamic and one that is effective, will mitigate those issues a lot of times, and that wasn't there last night.
Ben Johnson, after the game, said that they never felt in rhythm with the running game, not all on the same page, and he said some of that was on him. So I appreciate him pointing the thumb at that. What did you see, like, schematically? Did it make sense? Did their run attack make sense to you as you watched it? Turns it inside zone, outside zone, or whatever you saw as you're watching?
I think schematically it was decent. I don't think they did anything bad, or he called any, bad plays when it came to runs. Like sometimes I've seen where there's an explosive pass and then we try to do a reverse and lose 10 yards or something like that. It was nothing like that came out of there. I think inside zone and outside zones were called. I would have liked to seen a couple draws maybe, to keep them honest on that aspect. I think it honestly is the same thing that has been plaguing the Bears for a long time. And up front, everything starts up front. And there was a lot of times where DeAndre got the ball early and he's already trying to dodge somebody in the backfield. And he didn't have a lot of creases to cut through and to go through. So I think it comes down to really offensive line and the penetration that was allowed on by the Vikings defensive line, and not really pushing those guys off the ball. They really weren't creating any seams for them to run through. And that has to immediately change in order to have our run game, first of all, be a threat, but to take the pressure off of the quarterback.
Man, look at that. Running back blaming the offensive line. Like, come on.
See, I never blamed the offensive line when I played. I just went out there. So now that I'm retired, I can blame them all I want. You know? It's like, it's them. It's all on them. Everything starts up front. You guys got to get better. Come on now.
We are talking with Matt Forte. Along with being one of the greatest Bears of all time, he's also an author, two really good books. If you've got kids, the My Hair Can book is excellent. And there's a new book, Stay in the Game, Making the Most of Every Season. So Matt has been diversifying his life after football. It's been one of the sharpest things that I see with him. And so please support him, along with him being on the show. Support him, get the books, share them, give them out as gifts, all of those good things. When it comes to Caleb and getting the most out of what he is as a quarterback, when would you worry? What would be the things that, because this is a new system and it's almost like he's starting over again, what are the things that as a former player you worry about when you're trying to see if a guy's getting to the next level of his ability?
I think I would worry when he's not excited about the mundane of the season, when the wear and the tear and the ups and the highs and the lows, and when there's a lot more lows than highs, and you don't see him getting excited about the passion behind football. That's when I worry, because if it's not in your heart, it's not going to make it to the head. And so it don't matter what system that you're in, there's going to be, you know, bumps and bruises that you got to take those lumps, but then you got to learn from them and keep going after and trying to actually reinvent yourself within the offense. You know, anybody can really have a one-year wonder. But when defenses scheme against you and they know what you do best and they try to stop you, can you reinvent yourself in a way that is still effective? So I honestly really think that Caleb can make all the throws. He I think there's a lot of room to grow still when it comes to the knowledge of understanding defenses and what they do and how to pick them apart, so to speak, when different coverages come your way. And then honestly, and then with the blitz coming, it's been a factor that has been effective against him as a player. So under pressure, yes, he has the ability to escape. He's really elusive, which even last night, this is so funny how he can elude guys in the pocket, because it's almost like he's frantic back there and he's able to just make some of these moves. It's like, wait, how did he even do that? But you don't want your quarterback doing that all the time. But, you know, I think for the most part, to keep it simple, I would get scared when we start throwing a bunch of receiver screens. Because that means, and I can't stand, like, it's third and short and it's like, all right, let's throw a receiver screen, and then we lose 7 yards. You don't trust the offensive line at all, or you don't trust your quarterback going throwing the ball downfield. You're just trying to get quick yards, and you know, defensives know that by now. I mean, it kind of was a trend when I was playing, and I can't stand seeing receiver screens a bunch of times.
Matt Forte, one of the great running backs in the history of the Bears, and that's saying something.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 yards in 5 of his 8 seasons. In 2 of the others, he had over 800. In one of the others, he was 3 yards shy of 1,000.
Look at the catches.
The catches are outrageous. First of all, it's over 400 receiving yards as a running back in every year of his Bears career, except one. Just like, I remember at the time thinking, all right, man, like, other teams might have their Marshall Faulk or their LaDainian Tomlinson, but we got our Matt Forte, you know? And that was pretty cool. In the open, Matt, we heard the highlight of your first game in Indianapolis on a Sunday night in prime time, and you guys blew up the Colts. You had 123 yards. And so watching that last night, some of those players out there playing in their first game, like J.J. McCarthy and others, what do you remember about that first game of your career on a Sunday night? Bears fans remember it very fondly.
Yeah, it was fun hearing the call from those games and even hearing, you know, some old teammates and Lovey talking about those days. But what I remember from that time, especially being my first game on Sunday Night Football in primetime, was, man, the atmosphere. It's nothing. I don't think anything could recreate that. So the atmosphere first was crazy. And then also I piggybacked off my teammates. You know, a lot of those guys I was playing with played in the Super Bowl 2 years prior against Peyton Manning and the Colts. And just the kind of the mentality and the perspective of going into that game, because nobody was really giving us a chance and they were already, you know, pissed off, you know, going into the game. And so I was like, man, I gotta turn it up as well, because these guys are feeling a certain way about how the expectation going into the game is not on our side. And man, it ended up being a great game and, you know, a record setting game. And it was one of those historical moments that even in the time as a young rookie when I was doing it, I had no clue what I was doing. I was just out there playing ball. I knew what I needed to do. I knew the plays. I knew what I had to do. But when it came to the outside stuff, like how big of an accomplishment to come in your first game and to succeed that way, it was just something special, and I'll always remember that as well.
Can you imagine what it was like for J.J. McCarthy, a kid who grew up like watching your specific teams, Matt?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like he grew up a fan of you and the guys that you ran with, and then come back to Soldier Field in your first start and then have a fourth quarter like he had. It's got to feel amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be an amazing feeling to be a kid that's from here. You know, his grandfather took him to his first Bears game. I think it was a Bears Vikings game as well. And then you can't even write that any better. Then he plays for the Vikings, and then to have your first start be a comeback win, and you lead your team in that aspect. So that's huge. And shout out to Josh McCown, who's the quarterback's coach over there. He played with us. He's a good friend of mine. And, you know, after throwing a pick six, sometimes your mental can be messed up, But I can tell that Josh probably talked to him over there on the sideline and definitely, you know, got him back in the where mentally the mental space that he needed to be to lead the team to a comeback. And he kept doing it, and they ended up obviously doing well.
Got to tell you, Matt, that was a very negative experience last night watching that game as a Bears fan. You have helped calm us down.
What he does.
Oh, my God. I feel a sense of serenity. I feel a football serenity with Matt Forte.
You have to understand that the football after show was me.
Yeah.
Three crazy people, and I say that with love.
Lance Briggs and Alex Brown.
And Olin Krutz.
Oh, three crazy people.
And Matt.
Yeah.
So it was like...
Ooh, so four crazy people.
And Matt.
and so Matt had a heavy lift in terms of serenity.
He did. Yeah. Yes, he was the But I will say that I remember, like it was yesterday when... You sit there and you go, oh, here's the kick that's going to propel the Bears on in the playoffs. And Matt had said before, he's like, this game is going to come down to a kick, and he's going to miss that kick. And then when he kicked, I have video of it too. I have a video of like, because Alex and Lance were praying. They were like, they were on the field.
This is double doink you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. And they were praying. And he misses the kick. And Matt looked at me and he was like, told you. Told you that this was going to happen. He's got a lot of these great stories. So as we continue week after week, Matt, we are going to ask you for a lot of the stories, man. We want to know about, because there are still people that are playing or coaching that you played or were coached by in the league. So being able to dip into all of that knowledge is great. We thank you so much for being on the show, and we can't wait to talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Pleasure, guys, man. That was a great first show, and I appreciate you guys having me on the team with you.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.